Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. On today's program, we have three very special guests, and we will be talking about the celebration for Earth Day with Andrew Kane, Mitchell Rabin, and Kurt Johnson. And we'll be offering a preview of live events that are going to take place online. The 15th annual World Peace Earth Day celebration, celebrating our planet and healing our heart on April 21st, 7 to 10 p.m. But before we jump into that, I want to give you an update. For those of you who listened to our program last week, our guest was Pika Trenko, and she is going to be having a green medicine course coming up very soon. But some of you may have missed the free introduction that took place last week. Well, it seems there will be another one coming Monday on the 18th. In either case, please email PikaTrenkle@gmail.com, PikaTrenkle@gmail.com, or you can go to her website, PikaTrenkle.com. And now, as we proceed forward, I'm going to play a little piece of music for you, and that is Amazing Space by Kristen Hoffman. And our guests on today's program are Dr. Kurt Johnson. Dr. Johnson is a director and founder of Light on Light Press, Light on Light Magazines, and the Convergent Series on Voice America. He is a noted evolutionary biologist and comparative religionist. Kurt is co-author of the influential book, The Coming Interspiritual Age, and co-founded with Dr. Wayne Teasdale, What is Today? The Interspiritual Dialogue Network. He co-edited the Evolutionary Leaders 2021 Gold, Nautilus, and COVR cover award-winning book, Our Moment of Choice: Evolutionary Visions and Hope for the Future. A former monk and with PhD in evolution and ecology, Kurt was associated with the American Museum of Natural History for 25 years. In science, he is co-author of two award-winning popular science books, Nabokov's Blues and Fine Lines, which won the Brian Boyd Prize for Scholarly Writing. With a 15-year association with New York City's One Spirit Interfaith Seminary, and also serves widely on international forums and committees, especially the United Nations. His website, lightonlight.us. Mitchell Raven is an international speaker, holistic therapist, personal and business coach, consultant to CEOs of green and wellness startups, a writer, and host of A Better World Radio and TV, and impassioned lover of Mother Earth. Mitchell has been teaching meditation, Qigong, and stress management techniques at retreats, ashrams, and for interfaith seminaries for decades. Mitchell has been in numerous PBS documentaries, award-winning films, and has been interviewing thought leaders in a variety of fields since 1993. He has also been hosting Earth Day peace celebrations with Planet Heart for many years as well. You can learn more at www.mitchellraven.com and abetterworld.net. Andrew Kane, founder and executive producer of Planet Heart's annual World Peace Earth Day celebration, which began in 2007. He is also a vibrational sound channel, singer, soul writer, and vibrational poet, sharing his gift to be a connector and transmitter for world peace, oneness, and unconditional love, having been awakened to unity consciousness 26 years ago and activated with channeling, clairsentience, clairaudience, and receiving higher dimensional frequencies of galactic sound channeling, sacred chants, and sacred poetry, all connected to oneness and peace. He is also an ambassador for peace. His name, Andrew Kane, if scrambled, is an acronym spells reawakened, which he feels is his true soul name, to be reawakened Andrew Kane, reawakening others to remember we are all one heart beating with Earth Mother Gaia and all her living creatures and plants. And we'll be hearing from Andrew coming up. And this piece of music is Kristen Hoffman, Amazing Space, and she will also be performing at the event.
I call it the annual World Peace Earth Day celebration. And Planet Heart is the name that I got also from spirit, from God, whoever you want to say. When I realized that when you look at Planet Earth and the word, the last letter, if you put it to the front of the word, it's spelled heart instead of earth. And I got that idea from that. And that was many years prior to me wanting to do an Earth Day event. I started this in 2007, and I did it in the Village in New York City in a theater. And after the first annual Earth Day event, we did a little walk to the park, and we had a little thing going on there. And I've been doing it ever since. And I just am very passionate about the planet and very passionate about world peace. And I've been immersed in spiritual and environmental communities for over 20 years with We the World and other organizations. And I really love bringing people together and have a cause of unity and peace.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And I have certainly attended and on occasion participated in your events, and they've always been really wonderful as actual events. But this year, I believe, as last year, due to current situations, it is an online event. And that makes it really accessible to all of you from wherever you are. And I want to invite you, Mitchell Rabin, since you are producing in many ways this event this year, to tell us a bit about yourself and your work and how that flows into this Earth Day event.
Sure, Catherine. Great to hear your voice. It's been a while. I started as a wee young lad driving through Bridgeport, Connecticut, when I was about 14 years old with my father, and saw smokestacks spewing black dirt into the air. And I said, "Dad, is that legal? I mean, it's a mess. Don't these guys that own those smokestacks have children? And don't they themselves have lungs?" And he said, "Yes, son, they do. They have both lungs and children." I said, "Well, how could they do this? I mean, like, what are they thinking?" And he didn't really have a good answer. I think he felt sad about it, as I did, Kathy. That turned my mind around, and I saw what damage human beings do to beautiful Mother Earth. And I kind of tell a funny story that I started demonstrating in marches in Bridgeport, as a matter of fact. And I was so young, he had to drive me to the marches with my placard. And I've been on this path ever since. I'm born a Taurus. We're the first Earth sign in the zodiac. And I feel like I have this kind of very deep love and respect for our mother. In fact, my work as a psychotherapist, holistic psychotherapist, is largely grounded in kind of an innovative perspective I've put together. You could almost call it an indigenous perspective, that a person's sense of health and well-being is measured by the metric is, what is the relationship to the earth and how do they care for it? So that's sort of the beginnings of my interest in doing activity, and my radio and TV shows have been about matters related to the earth and interviewing indigenous people and environmentalists and scientists and the like. And I do a lot in the development of technologies on the business side that can help to turn around the issues around global warming. So I'm actually very impassioned about it and very deep in it. And that kind of led naturally to Andrew Kane inviting me to and asking me to host these at this point many, many years ago. We really started, I think it was at the Meta Center, and in many venues since then, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. It gets us started. And Dr. Kurt Johnson, I would like to welcome you to speak a bit about your work and what it is that you are hoping to bring to the table. What deeper understanding do you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, thanks so much. Now, I think it's actually, you know, Mitchell who invited me onto this program, and I think probably to share just what the perspective is from the science that's involved here. And of course, when we think about that and we think about the situation, there's bad news and there's good news. And sometimes it's good to take a look at the bad news first, which is really more like inconvenient truth than just, you know, super bad news. But then after that, there's also a lot of good news. So first thing I just wanted to mention is that very often when we use this term Earth or Earth Day, we limit ourselves to just thinking about the planet or nature, where actually if we really understand how interconnected everything is and understand how cosmology looks at this, there are really three interactive arenas that are going on with regard to the care of this planet. And they're basically called the physiosphere or the geosphere, which would be the inanimate world of just the planet itself. And then the second arena is the biosphere, which is all of life, which is a whole another complexion of living things on the planet. But there's a third, and the third is the one that involves us as human beings, which cosmologists call the noosphere. But the reason it's important is that we're the species on this planet that has all of these technological capabilities and all of these things we do from our emotions and consciousness. And what's unfortunate about the situation, or fortunate, because we can either make things worse or make things better, it's really our species that upsets the apple cart. Part of the good news is that nature itself, evolutionary science has demonstrated that if evolution itself is left unimpeded, it always chooses for the good of the whole. What now is recognized as group and multi-level selection, nature always will select what's good for the whole system. But what's peculiar about human beings, of course, is that we tend to make selfish decisions. And a lot of what we'll want to talk about more today, I think, is how we can remediate some of those decisions that human beings are making that have led to all of the dimensions of the crisis on the planet right now. And there's actually four, when we come back to that, that we're really facing four potential catastrophes all at once. One would be enough of a challenge. Four of them together is even a bigger challenge. So that's kind of the inconvenient truth. But then, like I said, the good news is that nature left unimpeded will always choose for the good. So we have to really look at human behavior and where we're really messing up the system. We're really the bad apple in the apple cart. So with that, I'll turn it back and kind of see where Mitchell and Andrew and you would like to go with that conversation.
Yeah, I think that is an important conversation, because many of us feel somewhat helpless, if not hopeless, on what we can do individually. And I believe that you're going to bring a lot to the table, as well as some of the other speakers and presenters. So I would like to invite perhaps Mitchell or Andrew to tell us a little something about the event itself.
Well, sure. I may jump in here because what Kurt put on the table represents an ongoing dialogue that he and I have been having for many years as we seek to solve and come up with creative and accurate answers about the nature of human beings and our psyche and our behavior and make sense of it. And it's bewildering, I'll say, because on one hand, I see that we are such spectacular, extraordinary human beings, you know, to refer back to what Jean Houston brought to the table in consideration of human potential many decades ago, and to contemplate what that could be on one hand, and then to look at so many of the behaviors and that our history is populated with war on one level or another, whether it's a war for regions and boundaries, definitions, or whether it's a war against crime or cancer or viruses for that matter. I have been saying that at this point we should declare war, if we're going to stay in that mode, on war itself. So anyway, what we're doing, Kathy, to answer your question, which is a good one, on the day of Earth Day, it is also, as Andrew properly pointed out, Earth and Peace Day, because as he was well describing, we all feel that in our hearts, the wish for a world at peace. I write about it rather extensively. We have a really stellar group of people coming to join us. We have a world-renowned cellular biologist, Bruce Lipton, who is going to be the first speaker. But Indigenous elder Phil Lane will be opening up with the sacred ceremony and prayer, blessing the event. Bruce will speak. Elizabeth Saturis, it's funny, we have three evolution biologists on because they, like environmental scientists, understand, like Kurt was just saying, the interdependence of all systems. And looking at the Earth alone is not enough. We really need to expand that idea outward and look at all of life, and maybe in other spheres, God knows. So Elizabeth Sartoris will be joining us as well, and Drs. JJ and Desiree Ertok, who are social scientists and the founders of the Academy for Future Science. They're just brilliant and very good colleagues and dear friends. And someone who I just met relatively recently, Dr. Samarpan Buchholder. He is a chiropractor who has been spending a lot of time in Brazil, in the Amazon, with the Yanomami people there, a tribe that is being unfortunately rather decimated by the Brazilian authorities in their attempt to get them off land that the Brazilian government considers very valuable for mineral resources and the like. So he'll be speaking as well and telling us about his precious work down there. And we're going to have a really fun and meaningful little, I was just telling Andrew before, a theatrical vignette by two youths, one who's, I think, 10 years old, another that might be 12.
14.
And, they're 14? Okay, thanks. They're in Florida, and they have they're part of a theater group that is using theater as a way of teaching people and expressing their feelings about what's going on the planet ecologically. And they're going to be doing a skit for us as well. Plus, we have performers. You played Kristen Hoffman, a very dear friend of ours, who will be playing. We love Kristen. She'll be playing. And Pramik Russell Tubbs is an amazing musician who's been at a number of our Earth Day celebrations for years, as has been Eliza Hava, who is a singer, American Israeli, I believe, and sings like a bird. And she'll be performing as well. So that gives you a real good sense of the people we'll have. I'll be speaking
as well. And, of course,
Kurt
Johnson and Mitchell Weaving.
Yes, I forgot myself. I'll be one of the speakers as well.
Yeah.
And I'll share a poem. I'm going to be sharing a poem.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about the celebrating our planet, healing our heart, the 15th annual World Peace Earth Day celebration, April 21st, and that's Thursday, I believe, 2022, yes. From 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. And it's globally online, a free event. And you can join at www.facebook.com/abetterworldmedia. And I will endeavor to get that link up on our archive page so you'll be able to link right on to it. But make a note of how to do that, and you'll be able to really enjoy this program. I'm looking forward to it. It's always inspiring. And we'll give that information out again at the end. Did I give all relevant information, Mitchell?
Well, if people don't have Facebook, it's going to be broadcast on YouTube, right,
yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
It'll be on YouTube as well.
That's right.
A Better World TV show
as well.
Okay, and that's A Better World Media?
YouTube.com.
Yeah. In fact,
slash A Better World TV show.
It's www.youtube.com/C. I don't know what the C means. / A Better World TV show.
Okay. Excellent. So
And people can also subscribe to the station there as well.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Track.
You know, I was watching.
PlanetHeart.org is the website to get information about the event.
Okay.
And it's a lot of links, I know.
No, Well, it gives people options, planetheart.org. So I will check all the links and make sure I have the right ones and put it in our archive page so people can check it at Heart of Mind archive. And you'll be able to click on those links if you don't get a chance to jot it down right now. And I noticed that I don't have a link or a connection for you, Dr. Johnson. Do you have a space where people can find out more about your work, just in case?
Yeah, probably the quickest way is a website, lightonlight.us, which is has everything from all of our media. So that's lightonlight.us. Very easy to find. And also our radio series at Voice America is also linked there. So we're going to be doing a special on Earth Day as well. Actually, Mitchell will be one of our guests, along with a lot of really famous people, on the weekend after Earth Day, where we're going to be summarizing on Voice America a lot of the content from celebrations of Earth Day all around the world. So,
okay,
the best way to find me.
And upcoming, we're going to take a little break and hear from Bruce Lipton, another of the presenters at this event. This is a small excerpt from his video, A Message of Hope. A Message of Hope and Science. Stay tuned.
Wow. Looking at the world and seeing what's going on right now, all the chaos, the upheaval that's going on is so distressing at one level. And it's interesting for me because as a scientist, I can stand up and talk about the fact that today's chaos is a necessary requirement for the evolution that we would love to see. And yet I, like you, have to live in this crazy world. It's mind-blowing. It's crazy. And it becomes really important because all of this stuff that we're hearing is motivating fear. And fear, by its definition, is disempowering. Because when you're in fear, you're expressing, I have no power to take care of myself. And we give up power. And we give it up to other people to create the world for us. And obviously, by looking at this computer and watching what's going on around the world, those so-called leaders are not really helping us get to the destination of a heaven on earth reality. And it's time to recognize, yes, fear takes away our power. I've talked about that in many, many lectures, talked about the fact that stress hormones actually shut down our consciousness and puts us into a reactive mode. Well, this is not a time for reaction. This is a time for creation. And this is what the emphasis of quantum physics has been telling us, that it's our consciousness that is making creation. And yet, if we're living in fear, and consciousness is coming from fear, then what world are we creating? Well, that's the chaos we observe every day on the news. So in this situation, what we really have to do is just listen to the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt when he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Also relevant today are the profound words by Frank Herbert in Dune, where he says, fear is the mind killer. And this is what we have to recognize. Well, I've been talking about the fact that consciousness has created our world, and I say it's based on science. Well, let me give you a very important fact. It was in 1927, in the founding of the science of quantum physics, that we get the most important insight from one of the founding fathers of quantum physics, Max Planck. And what does Max say? All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume behind that force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. He concludes, this mind is the matrix of all matter. Well, that was, 70 more years ago, 100 years ago? I say, has that changed? I go, no. Look at this, for example. This is an article out of the most prestigious scientific journal on this planet, Nature. And I say, what's this article? I say, it's called The Mental Universe. It's by a quantum physicist at Johns Hopkins University. I'm not going to go and describe everything he says in the article because Richard Conn Henry, the author, summed it up in the last sentence. Let me emphasize for you that last sentence in this article on quantum physics. The universe is immaterial. It's mental and spiritual. Live and enjoy. Well, This has been the constant truth of quantum physics since the beginning. And quantum physics is the most valid of the sciences in regard to the theories actually predicting reality. So the significance is we have to do something about our consciousness. Now, I've been talking about that consciousness for a long time. But finally, medicine is actually just beginning to see the light of this new insight.
Well, that's wonderful, because I think that this is something that, I mean, it's wonderful to do a radio program on this topic, but we want to create ways for people to engage, perhaps in activities that are taking place, or to become involved in broadening their own personal perspective. And many can become teachers and sharers of information to your family, your friends, your community. We want to get more people involved. And one of those places where you can get involved with this work is going to we.net, we.net as well, We the World, and you can make all kinds of connections to dedicated people who are doing the good news, the good work that we don't hear about in the mainstream media or even in social media very often. And we can become very disconnected. And what I love about this particular event, by making it about not just about the planet, but about the heart, it helps us to bridge together all of our efforts and our thoughts and our concerns and our energy towards restabilizing the earth and allowing the earth itself an opportunity to heal. I believe that the earth has that power. And if we support nature, then nature will find ways to restore itself. Just like after a forest fire, there's new growth. But we can't continue to deplete the earth itself. So, as a culture, as a society, as a world, and though it does seem the world situation is very challenging at the time, at the moment, maybe Dr. Johnson, you can go into a little bit more about how you were speaking about this evolutionary visions and hope for the future that we can engage with.
Just a real thumbnail there, because, you know, we have to face the potential bad news, which is the challenges that we're up against. But then we also want to look at the good news. And like I said, there are really two points of good news, is that nature itself, because as you just said, nature is set up to be regenerative. If nature is left unimpeded, it will always choose for what heals and moves toward the good. And then with humans, you know, we have the potential for really good behavior, where we could really be a steward of a wonderful planet. But we also have the potential for bad behavior. Actually, I think if you know the term from Buddhism, that we have this tendency to create suffering. We have a tendency to act in ways that aren't in our best interest. Mm-hmm. But to go back to what I said at the beginning, people will relate to this. Just in your regular life, you know so many people who they're just living their life, everything's going fine. And then suddenly they break a leg or they're in a car accident or they have a stroke or they have a heart attack and their life is turned upside down. Now, in nature and evolution, that introduction of an event like that is called catastrophe. And what happens with catastrophe, just like with breaking a leg in your own life, is suddenly everything that was normal is turned upside down. And then there has to be a process to either find a new normal or things can get really bad. For instance, if you're in that car accident or you have that stroke, if you don't get to the hospital, you may actually pass away. But so you have to actually remediate that problem as soon as possible. So the situation we're in right now with the world is that we have four of those. We have four major evolutionary level catastrophes that we're faced with. One would be a challenge. Four is a huge challenge, and I'll just tick them off because they may bring up some conversation. But the first one, of course, is the underlying thing that we all recognized here already, and that's the climate challenge or the potential climate catastrophe, where because of natural trends, but also because of our behavior over so many decades with gases and other things that we've done with technology, we've upset the apple cart of the balance in climate. And that's changing radically in a way that would change so many things like water, food, and many other things. The second one, of course, that all of us have lived through for 3 years was the pandemic. And the pandemic, which was a global virus, it upset everything that was normal with economics, with travel, with interfamilial relationships, you know. So there was catastrophe number two. Now, the other two we think of maybe less, but they're really important for us to understand. And one is called the information catastrophe. And I think all of you know right now that the problem we have in the world is not even knowing what a fact is. People have discovered that they can tell a lie and they can tell a lie so effectively that people will actually believe it. And that will motivate people to all kinds of really, really bad behaviors that they actually think are good behaviors because they've been told a false story. And what's interesting today is so many sociologists believe that the way that information now is being handled with propaganda and on the internet and so on is what they call the information catastrophe. If you don't get the right diagnosis from your doctor, you can't get the right prescription for what you need to do to get better. And that's the problem, see, with the information catastrophe. If we're not acting on actual information and truth, we're not going to be able to make the decisions that really serve our future. So that's the third one. The fourth one, actually, and this is one that's really been brought forward now by the Russia-Ukraine war, is that for some reason, humanity has gotten fascinated with dictators again. It goes back, of course, to our fascination with kings and messiahs and that type of thing. But we all know that even in our own country, we had so many people who got fascinated with a potential dictator. And there are people like that now all around the world. And they're making decisions like Putin is that affect literally the life and death of thousands and millions of people. So there's got to be a wake-up call relative to the catastrophe of how our species chooses leaders. It doesn't matter, you know, how any of us, you or me or people listening to this call, are good people. We want a better world. We're operating from the heart. But if we're continuing to let leaders rise to the top who are of the other kind, who really just because of their own psychological problems or whatever it may be, just want to hurt other people, then that's the other catastrophe that we're really facing, which is called the governance catastrophe. So this is a situation in the world. We're almost like that person that I mentioned who was living life and everything was fine. And then suddenly, bam, there's a stroke, there's a heart attack, there's a car accident. And so we're up against four of them at once. And I think we could actually, if we thought more, we could probably even list a few more than four, but those are the four big ones. And I think on Earth Day, it really calls our attention to it.
Wow. And that is really powerful. I was watching a video earlier today that was looking at the internet and the searching on the internet. And it's gotten to the point where it's virtually impossible to actually find anything. you know, everything is so curated that you get all these government-sanctioned websites to visit, but you never really see the people who are doing the work on the ground if you were to do a search. And so to me, that truth part is pretty high on my list. And the governance is also pretty high, because without good governance, nothing will ever change. So that's very powerful. So what do we do now? Mitch, did you want to, Mitchell, to chime in?
I'd love to. On what Kurt was saying, and you too just now, Kathy, because that underscores what I think should be the fifth and maybe one of the underlying tenets that Kurt was laying out there, is what I've been referring to for decades as the pathology of affluence. And it has to do with highlighting our relationship with things and of things, especially this thing called money, which is the most peculiar thing to be kind of have a deep affinity with on one hand, because it's just like a little piece of paper, or these days it's just digits on a spreadsheet. It's not even something you hold in your hand. And it seems to me that if the powers that be get their way, we won't even have that. We'll just have digits on something like a credit card or a microchip. So when you talk about not being able to find the people on the ground, the grassroots folks really making a difference in this world and contributing and loving it, because you can't find them on the internet, which is our, you know, global interdependent connectivity system, which is so brilliant in itself, is because people own different, you know, areas of terrain on that internet. Google being the largest. And ads govern, not information, you know, real information, which highlights one of the points Kurt makes about what is real information anyway, which has a huge question mark around it right now. But the dealing with greed as a pathology and having it named in the psychiatric manual as such, I think is very important. And because we idolize it here. We're, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shall not idolize, you shall not have idols. Well, we have several. One is money, unfortunately, and the power of acquisition. And another is, as Kurt was referring to, dictators and authoritarianism. And it really is an ism, like a religion. That's another form of idolatry. And while I'm not religious by definition, but rather spiritual, nonetheless, there are some serious, powerful, important tenets inside the Ten Commandments that deserve to be listened to. So those are a couple of comments I'd like to share here.
Excellent. And Andrew, do you want to speak on this? Or maybe, you know, because while there's all the real connection and the activism, perhaps you can speak to that internal spiritual space that we can arrive at or cultivate within ourselves to be able to withstand this journey.
Can you clarify what?
Okay, so I was asking about your perspective from a spiritual point of view as a spiritual poet.
Based on what we're saying?
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. If you have any thoughts at all, I put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I'm out of words. Spiritually, what should I say? There is just perspective of I'm not really sure what to say. Loving the earth and realizing that we're all one, and you know, because if the world we're living in is is so crazy with COVID and just other things that are going on in our world that make it difficult to know that we're not separate and that we're one and the same, and that, you know, we all deal with different challenges and different things in our life that are hard, but when we realize it, we really are the same. We really are connected to nature and to other people and planet. We need to realize more that we're connected. And okay. I think that'll help if
yeah, I agree. I think it's
the same page.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we have to nurture and cultivate that sensibility that we are as much of the earth as the trees and the plants. And when we can connect at that deeper level, we can recognize each other as a companion soul on the planet. So, yeah, thank you for that. And Mitchell, let's remind people on how they can connect with the program itself.
Sure. Just to remind all that it's taking place the day before the formal day of Earth Day, which is April 22nd. We know that there are many, many events happening on that day and evening. And so we thought we'd do it a little beforehand, you know, sort of like an appetizer. It's Thursday, April 21st, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because of something you were saying earlier, Kathy, it's on Zoom these days and YouTube and Facebook. So it's global in nature, which we also love because we used to have it at various venues in the city. And that was a lot of fun, actually. It has its own joy, needless to say, getting together and all. But this does reach a wider audience. And people can tune in from everywhere at www.facebook.com/abetterworldmedia, one word, Better World Media. Or they can go to...
Isn't it Better World Media?
Better World Media.
Yeah.
Right. They could also go to www.planetheart.org. That's Andrew's site. planetheart.org, or mine, www.abetterworld.net.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not on Facebook at all and don't really want to be, and we do find people who are of that ilk, they can go directly to YouTube, to www.youtube.com/C/A Better World TV Show. And they'll be able to access our event there.
Exactly. That sounds great. And then, you know, once you connect to it, you can really enjoy it. And I presume that if people don't catch the whole thing, they can listen to it again.
Yes.
On one of those sites. So it's That's one of those correct. Things that you don't have to miss and that you can truly connect with. And it's one of the things for me on a spiritual level, in terms of fulfilling and uplifting my own energy. It's when I make these connections, it reminds me that our earth is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And it reminds me that there are so many kind, loving, caring people who are engaged and are doing the best that they can to make a difference. And it's very, very difficult for us, as we've been speaking of, to uplift this message because the mainstream is not going to do it. But we can do it. You can go, if you're on Facebook, you know, connect with facebook.com/abetterworldmedia and share it with all of your friends and invite them to come to it. If you're on YouTube, go to youtube.com/C/A Better TV Show and share
it. TV show.
A
Better World TV show. Okay, thank you for that. A Better World TV show. And share it with all the friends that you have. You know, you can put it into your phone, you can put the link and you can share it out. We have to be the ones to make the difference. And this may be the thing that you're doing to make a difference, is to share the message in ways that it won't be on the mainstream. You're not going to see this on any of the mainstream channels. You're not going to even have an unchallenged view of the problem. You know, you're going to get all kinds of contrary stuff. So we need to do this for ourselves. Go to planetheart.org and share that website with people. That's how we're going to be able to do it. Put the websites on your social media. Share these links with people. Tell people that this event is going to take place and make those connections with each other. And if you don't find the links, you could always send an email to myself and I will send you those links. My email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I'll put all the links there and I'll just return it to you from that email if you don't want to search about and around for the specific links. So I think it's really important. That's one step. That's one thing that we can do, is just open the door to those people in our lives who either want to get engaged, need to be inspired, and can be uplifted by knowing that something is really being done. And are there any other steps that we can talk to people about? We have about 4 minutes of the program, and I want to be sure to give people some idea of how they can engage in healing the planet and healing our hearts.
Yeah, I just wanted to just add one comment at the end to see what's interesting is that it goes back to really what Andrew was saying as well. The globe is going through a paradigm shift toward understanding that what 99.9% of people on the planet want is simply a safe space in which they can pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And the world is trying to get to what's called the whole world view, or the world that works for all. So what happens when there's this paradigm shift, which all of you have talked about, to the world of the heart, to shared values, reciprocity, mutuality, and those types of values that are all positive, then after every paradigm shift, there's a period of experimentation in the sense where all the new models are proposed as, what do societies look like that live in that positive way? What do cultures look like that live in that positive way? What do economies look like that live in that positive way? So this is the good news. The good news is there are hundreds of thousands of people out there that are innovating these new ways to live and looking at how that can be done. So those are the kinds of people and visions that Mitchell and Andrew and their programs will be showcasing. And those are really inspiring.
Excellent. Mitchell?
Yeah, no, I just am reiterating and appreciating what Kurt is saying, because it's very true. You know, there are many steps in this play, if you will. And first is, you could say, the diagnosis that Kurt was talking about, and having a real one of understanding, like the IPCC report, understanding really what is the status of our ecosystem at this point. What is what's going on with the melting of the ice caps? What is going on with currents? What's going on with air quality, water quality, soil quality? What's going on with the felling of trees all over the Amazon? And what are the real quantitative effects on life surviving? I have no question about Mother Earth surviving, but our species, there's actually a question about it. We can fantasize about what we'd like to see, God knows, and we do. Yet getting the diagnosis and then offering solutions. Part of the solutions are a lot of what people are doing. I was in Ecuador not that long ago, a few months back, and I met up with a great group of people that are building conscious communities across the world, the Cohere Network. It's fabulous. I've got them on my website. And it's a place, so rather than just being reactive to the problems of the world situation, they're saying, you know what? We want a lot of real creative solutionaries We want people who are really into creating a better world, if I may use the phrase, and, you know, have our own food system, have our own water, have our own roof over our head, and essentially build our own culture. And that kind of thing is really populating the planet at this point, Kathy, and it's beautiful to see.
Excellent. I want to thank you all for joining me today. We have been speaking with our guest, Dr. Kurt Johnson, Mitchell Rabin, Andrew Kane. And for information, if you missed any of the links to connect to these speakers or to the event, drop me an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I'm going to finish up with Mother Earth song.
I am round, I am green, I am blue, I am Mother Earth to you. I am round, I am green, I am blue, I am Mother Nature too. I am mountain, I am valley, I am rivers running through. I am mighty oak and oh, the lowly weed. I have given birth to everything that you will ever need. Air that's pure, water too for you. I am round, I am green, I am blue. Mother, suffering too. I am earth, I am sad, I am blue. I am mother, struggling too. How I struggle to stay balanced, and I struggle to be free. How I struggle with decisions which are made in spite of me. No more war and no more killing, no more greed. Do you agree? Do you care? Can you care? Please care. I am round, I am green, I am blue. I am mother. So are you. We are one, you are I, can you see? We're together eternally. Love your neighbor and all strangers, you are they are you. We will heal with every thought and word and deed. All together we can balance nature, change the weather too.